just a double again. I want to see a triple doink. It might happen.
Doink.
Double doink.
It's double doink.
Double doink.
Triple doink. Quadruple doink.
Doink.
Doink. A double doink right there.
Doink. Doink. A double doink.
Double doinker.
Dicker the kicker. Triple doink sit in. Doink, 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 doink.
Double doinks and sackles.
Teaching you how to football.
Can you teach the NFC East the football?
No.
No?
That is a tall order.
A tall, hefty order on that one.
My name is Fernando.
I'm Travis.
I'm Jimmy G, the staff boy.
And there it is.
And we are still, we're in the playoffs.
Playoffs.
Let's do a little recap of Wild Card Weekend. It was Super Wild Card Weekend. I'm going to say it wasn't that super. There might have been one decent game, being the Rams and Lions, but aside from that, I thought that was pretty trash, if you ask me.
I don't know. Did you enjoy cheering against Philly on Monday night?
I mean, yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, competitive games. It was fun seeing them get their asses kicked. But let's start off with the first game of Super Wild Card Weekend.
Super Wild Card Weekend.
The Browns invading Houston, taking on the Texans.
Invading? They barely made the beach for that point.
The greatest quarterback of all time, Joe Flacco, did not show up in this game.
Sleepy Joe was tired, man.
He was not the GOAT on Saturday.
He did throw three touchdown passes, though.
That he did. One of them was to his own team, and the other two were to the other team.
But my hot take would have been right.
Do we count his hot take?
I'm going to say no.
It's a backdoor take.
Okay. Backdoor take, yes.
There's not a whole lot to talk about this game outside of C.J. Stroud really taking off, I think.
Yeah, he looks, I mean, it's got to help, too, when you get your first playoff game at home against technically a fifth-string quarterback, because I think that was the fifth-starting quarterback for the,
it was the fifth-starting
Browns this year. But still, like, yeah, he looks, you know, he's having a great rookie year. I mean, I hope he does win rookie of the year. Him and Puka, that's front runners.
You think that, I mean, we were talking about how good, like, the Browns defense was and how, like, they've kind of maintained, like, through everything. I mean, 45 points, 14 of those go on Joe Flacco, obviously. But don't count out C.J. Stroud. He had a perfect passer rating.
Yeah.
Perfect passer percentage, if you would. Perfect passer point projection. 157.2, 16 to 21 for 274 and three touchdowns, no interceptions, zero sacks. I mean, the dude looks really good. I know he's playing Lamar Jackson, and I know that I haven't been like the biggest on like the Baltimore track this year, but man, I'm kind of feeling the Texans right now.
Oh, we'll get to that in a second.
Oh, can't wait to see what you picked.
The next game was in frigid Kansas City, one of the coldest playoff games of all time. We had the Dolphins at the Chiefs. My hot take was hit. I said the Chiefs or the Dolphins would score 10 points or less. 26-7 was your final. And the one touchdown they got was kind of a fluke thing to Tyreek. You know, they just lofted up to him. He tracks it down, gets it, uses his speed. The Dolphins are not made for cold weather. I mean, you think they are because they're such a good running team with Mostert and Achen, but they just couldn't get it going. That Chiefs defense, they're saying Patrick Mahomes since he's been the starter, this is probably the best defense he's had on the other side.
Oh, for sure.
Since he's been the quarterback. Like, they are playing great, which is scary for the rest of the teams that have to play them coming down the stretch.
Yeah. I think we're missing how the Dolphins really had no defense to keep the Chiefs close.
It's true.
And that might have gained a little bit of, like, they might have worked off a momentum of, like, good defense, good offense maybe. But they just felt sleepy.
They still only scored one touchdown. They had one score in the game.
Let's go back to kind of what you said, like, on the, like, your first breakdown of it. You said that you thought the Dolphins would be better in cold weather because, like, they've got a pretty decent running attack.
Right? Yeah.
They ran the ball. How many times do you think they ran the ball total in that game?
Let's go. I don't think it was a lot. I'll say 20 times.
16.
All right, we're going to split the difference on the one. It was 18 rushes. Wow. for 76 yards. They're averaging 4.2 yards.
That's a great average. That's a great average. Four or more. I mean, hell, 3.5 or more, because you want to average a first every three runs, you get a first down.
But they got away from it. And I mean, three of those rushes for 25 yards was actually Tua himself by that point.
How many pass attempts did Tua have?
He had 39 pass attempts.
That's too many.
Too many, especially with that weather that was.
Yeah.
So once again, like, I mean, I still feel as though that the Miami Dolphins can be built for bad weather. I know that Rex Ryan was on like the Talking Heads like this week talking about how, you know, this was like a game that was indicative of showing how like the Dolphins aren't built for bad weather. And taking on this small sample size, you're right. 100% you're right, right? But if you look at like what they did for their game plan by that point, you can kind of see like the flaws in the game plan. And you're getting away from like the running, you're getting away from those options, you're getting away from like the reverses, you're getting away from all these things that the Dolphins have done so well at. I mean, Achane ran the ball 6 times for 9 yards. Mostert ran it for 8 times for 33 yards. And then Waddle had 1 reverse. There were no rushes by Tyreek. You know, if you have Tua running for 25 yards, something's wrong on the game plan by that point.
I mean, we have that many pass attempts. You're playing from behind. Just forcing it.
39 pass attempts, 20 completions. It was, 199 yards average, 1 interception, 1 touchdown, 2 sacks. His quarterback rating was a 15.8.
Whoa. QBR. 15.8.
Jeez. QBR was 15.8.
I wonder how bad it would be, like how much lower it would be with that one deep pass to Tyreek that happened to go in for the touchdown.
Oh, it was single digits, his passer rating or
something.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you're right. This game was pretty boring. I think the only thing worth noting, and probably the MVP of this game, was a Taylor Swift jacket made by Kristen Juszczyk. Also, spelling bee. Spell Juszczyk.
Oh, Jesus. J-Y-Z.
Nope.
No, it's J-U.
Oh, it's, I thought there were
no S-Y-U-Z.
J-U-S-Z-C-Y-C-K. Obviously.
Obviously.
I refer to you to my pen. Oh, that one.
Yeah. It's, that was kind of a boring game. Indeed.
Moving on to the next game, Sunday.
Didn't get much better.
The what?
Didn't get much better, did it?
No. Like, the Packers and Cowboys, the final score was 48-32, but that feels like it's still too close for how the game was really going.
Way too close.
Like, it was, what did the Cowboys get? Like, some garbage touchdowns at the end to make it a 16-point loss? I mean, I hate Skip Bayless, and I know he's a huge Cowboy fan. Like, hearing him bitch and moan and complain about Dak Prescott, I love it. I fucking love it.
Did you see the video he made after that game?
I think in his kitchen? I saw a clip. Yeah,
he got completely rejected and like just made fun of by his garbage can because the garbage can kept closing it. See, making videos like we did last week. Thanks for all that 16 of you that watched it. The whole like he was just being a showman. It's like showing this jersey and the trash can would close and open back up and stuff. That's probably his wife also filming this stupid charade of a video, too. And it's just, I hate Skip Bayless so much.
And I do like Stephen A. Smith constantly laughing when the Cowboys lose. That was
I wait for that.
But Dak, yeah, he looked that first half, what was it, 27-0? Or no, they got a touchdown right before halftime. The Cowboys did. So 27-7 at home. You're the most dominant home team over the last 2 years. And the playoffs, Dak is not a playoff quarterback. Like, does he have a playoff win? They beat the Cowboys, or the Buccaneers.
There was one division last year, right?
Yeah, the Buccaneers. Yeah. That's when their kicker missed 4 extra points.
Yeah, he just kept missing them.
Oh,
yeah,
that was against the Niners, I believe.
No, that was against the Bucks.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
That was the Bucks because it was a road playoff game.
But he did miss, I think, like 1 against the Niners or 2 against. Because I remember, we were sitting here watching it, and like we were cheering for him to finally make one. It was 27-0. I remember another team that came back from 27-0.
Oh, Jesus. Quick, stop living in the past.
It wasn't the Dallas Cowboys. At one point, this game was 48-16 at one point in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they put in their second strings, the Packers.
They did, and then they got within like 16 points, and they put their starters back in, which, you know, thankfully no one was injured by that point. But I don't think the Packers are that good, but man, did the Cowboys look bad. Couldn't happen to a nicer team. We'd have boys.
That's a shame. We'd have boys.
The boys. Yep.
And I do love how a majority of America, I mean, if you're not a Cowboy fan, you hate the Cowboys.
100%.
And I can't say, they're like, yeah, they're my number, they're number two.
Well, what that mean that we saw all the Yankees and Lakers and Alabama fans are all like super upset now?
Yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah.
All right. I went off to the page. Next game up. Oh, yeah. The Rams at Lions. The one game. The one game I really didn't get to watch much of because I was working.
Boo.
But the game of the weekend. Oh, 1-point game. Like, Detroit looked unstoppable at first. Like, I thought they were kind of running away with it after that first quarter. It seems like they got the ball. Score. Rams were moving it as well, but they, you know, only got field goal. They had a touchdown there, but close game at the half. We're looking at 21-17. A couple field goals in the third quarter, and then Rams cut it down to the 1-point game. Now, you guys were mentioning a point in the game where it was 4th and 13. They were at their own 40, or the Rams were on the Lions 40. So, you know, you're looking at a 58-yard field goal at that point. And instead of, you could pick a long field goal, you could go for it, but they chose to punt it with a little over 2 minutes and all three timeouts left. What do you think about that?
It was just piss poor planning by Sean McVay. He could really, he could.
So you think he should have gone for it?
What do you have to lose at that point? Because you're.
Well, I mean, field position.
Field position, but he's just hoping his, I guess he really trusts his defense to stop it, but it seemed like he could have played that better. And when you're that close, you might as well go for it. And you're like not really gaining any field position if you lose the ball or give it up on downs.
Yeah, because when they punted it too, what was the result? Do you remember if it was like a touchback? Was it a? I mean, we don't know.
It was a 31-yard punt to the Detroit 13. It was from the 44 to the 13.
I mean, yeah, 30 yards. At that point, you got to stop them from getting a first down anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what's the point of punting it where Detroit gets a first down? Game's pretty much over. So, like, yeah, I guess that's...
Yeah, so, I mean, my thing with that entire drive, right, is that they started back on like, the 8, right? And they got some decent calls, they got some decent plays. A couple things happened in this drive. Tyler Higbee goes down with a low blow when he's tackled by Joseph.
That and same guy, he's the one who injured T.J. Hockenson, because I kept seeing replays of that.
Stafford's over there talking a bunch of trash to him as well. I don't know if you saw that.
But I did.
Stafford's like, yeah, I saw you on the video. Like, we all got it. Like, great job. Like, you're a dirty player, yada yada. Mm-hmm. So that happens, which obviously hurts them, the momentum of it. Then there's third and four play where it's incomplete pass, but they get an offensive holding call, which brings it back to the 44 by that point. So it's like third and 14. Another incomplete pass. So now you're looking at 4th and 14 on the 44 with 4 minutes and 20 seconds left.
Oh, there were 4 minutes. Okay. When you guys said it to me at first, there was like 2 minutes left.
I was also preoccupied. I wasn't really watching.
Fair enough.
With 4 minutes left, I feel as though you punt the ball.
Okay, then yeah, if that was the situation, I didn't look into that.
So I feel as though
teaching Andrew how to football.
With 4 minutes left, I feel like, you know, especially you're not far enough in to like try and like do a long field goal. You're too far away to even like try and like really go for the first down by that point. With 4 minutes and 20 seconds, 4 minutes and 15, I think is when they punted it. I think that it is the right decision to punt it. Unfortunately for the Rams, they just never got the ball back.
Yeah.
The Lions were able to get a couple first downs and then run the clock out. You know, the Rams started using their timeouts you know, early in the second half anyway. So, like, they only had one timeout left with all that, with 4 minutes left as well. So, I think it was the right decision to punt it. Unfortunately, it didn't go their way.
Because, their defense, Rams' defense, was playing better in the second half. I mean, only gave up, 3 points, I believe, in that second half. So, I mean,
yeah,
you're going to, with McVay, I think, I think he did make the right decision with you punt, and then your defense has been holding up since that first quarter, pretty much. I mean, only gave up, 10 points since the first quarter. Let's just say, yeah, fuck it. Go out there and let's do it again.
But even then, I mean, you look at, like, you know, by that point, the Rams didn't move the Lions didn't move the ball very much on that last drive either. I mean, like, they probably moved the ball a total of 30 yards. They pretty much got it back to the punt area by that point. I think they end up taking their final knee on the 41. They essentially get it all the way back. They get 30 yards, but they end up running out 4 minutes of clock by that point. So I still think it was the best move. Didn't work out well for them, but
4 minute offense. I mean, that's the thing too. You talk about your 2 minute offense, like that 4 minute offense where you need to get some first downs, still kill the clock. Well, Detroit, their second playoff win in the last 65 years, and they get a second home playoff game because the Cowboys suck.
Did you see Baker Mayfield reach out to some of his old Rams teammates about what it was like, the atmosphere at Ford Field for the game on Sunday?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man, he reached out. They said that the decibel level reached over 133 decibels.
Damn.
At Ford Field for the playoff game. And Baker Mayfield was asked, he said, what did your former Rams teammates say about the atmosphere at Ford Field? And Baker Mayfield responded, it was the loudest thing they've ever heard in their entire lives. And I was like, well, Baker, good luck, bud.
Yeah.
Baker's used to people booing him anyway, though. So
Baker doesn't give a fuck. He's like one of those, like,
he's got a pack of zins in his pocket. And
I'm telling you, man, Baker is who we wish Johnny Manziel, like, was. That's what we wish. Like, Baker is that dude.
Oh, that's great.
Speaking of Baker,
we got one more game before that one.
This is the postponed game.
The doubleheader, it was too snowy in Buffalo, so that game got pushed to Monday afternoon.
There's not a lot to say about this
game. Yeah, Steelers-Bills, I mean, this is kind of the game I assumed it would be.
Yeah.
Like, 31-17, your final.
I thought 17 was more than I thought it was going to be, too. I was almost on the thing with you with, like, the Dolphins, so it was going to be, like, 10 points, 13 points tops for the Steelers. 17, good for the Steelers.
Yeah, good job. Good job. How were the, it doesn't even matter. Like,
they tried.
Bills, Josh Allen went out and did his thing. They were supposed to win this game. They should have won this game. They did win this game. I mean, Pittsburgh didn't feel like whoever got that 7 seed or 6 seed, like the ones at the bottom, like they didn't feel like playoff teams. They just were fortunate to get in.
The thing about this game that I heard about is at some point during that pregame, they stopped shoveling the seats and just start shoveling the walkways. And I think you could sit anywhere you want to. But it felt like a snow slide everywhere because it was barely like...
Well, I saw people walking through the aisles.
Yeah.
And like they had to like... There was snow and like... Or not the aisle, but the seats. The seat row.
The seat aisle. They stopped.
And they had to like chug their way through it because there was snow. There's like
they stopped
2 to 3 feet of snow there.
The aisles.
The fans were out there throwing snowballs in the field too. You could see it like in the end zone. Which also, Buffalo fans, you have a special place in my heart where I say, fuck you. Because I'll never forget, it was the Chargers run in 1995. Like when they were at the Super Bowl and they ended up getting blown out. They played a game in Buffalo on that travel to the Super Bowl, and they were throwing rocks and ice wrapped in snow, and they were hitting Chargers players on the sidelines.
Didn't a coach get hit like
a
in
coach
the back
got
of the
hit
head?
In the back of the head, and like it was like Sale and like Rodney Harrison like stood around him like protect him and stuff like that and started yelling. So once again, Buffalo fans throwing things on the field, you're pieces of shit. I hope your team loses. I hope you don't make the Super Bowl because I will never forget that moment in my life. So I would rather any other team, well, not the Chiefs.
Well, I hate to tell you what matchup.
Damn it.
All right, well, at least it wasn't a dildo.
I mean, I would rather a dildo than a rock. I mean, come on.
Yeah. But
it depends on where that dildo was previously.
This conversation is taking a while. All right. Here.
Okay, one last thing. I heard there was like something about some of the fans were being really kind of manipulative. Like, I think Buffalo fans were trying to throw snowballs at their own players to get penalties on the Steelers or something, thinking the Steelers fans doing it or something like that.
I saw them throwing stuff on the field. The one question that kind of came with this one, there was a moment, it was the really long Josh Allen like scramble for the touchdown, and people are saying that he went for a fake slide.
Oh, the fake slide. Yeah.
I didn't see a fake slide. I saw a little stutter.
I could see it either way, because Josh Allen, like you know, you see like a really good running back who jukes, like he's like boom boom. Josh Allen's juke isn't as smooth. It's like kind of more slow motion.
He's a tall, awkward white dude.
That exactly, yeah. but it still kind of looked like he would have gone down. See, that's one thing. I get protecting the quarterbacks and protecting the players, but it's like shit like that. Like that defensive guy, maybe he would have just gone in and like tried to level him, but he didn't want to because if he like. Dives
as soon as he gives himself up.
Yeah.
Well, there was a play where he did that, and there's also a play where someone like lightly tapped him and he got like a unsportsmanlike conduct on it.
Oh, bullshit.
But there's a whole video compilation of Josh Allen fake sliding. But I think Kenny Pickett did the best fake slide in college. That was probably one.
I think I remember that one.
But yeah, that was also really good. But
all right, final game of Super Wild Card Weekend.
Super Wild Card Weekend.
Oh, those mighty Eagles. Traveling to Tampa Bay, who only got in the playoffs because they're in the worst division in football. Oh, 9 points. They scored 9 points. Buccaneers blowing them out. 32-9. I mean, there's nothing to say about this. Could have been
12. They took points off the board twice in this game, I believe.
Oh, that's a shame.
They did. Yeah. They did. They,
like, there's something wrong with, I think, health-wise, there was something wrong with Jalen Hurts, like, the last half of the year. Like, it was kind of like Josh Allen last year. Josh Allen wasn't himself after that shoulder injury against the Jets midway through the season. Something happened to Jalen Hurts, because we kind of been talking about this all year. That Eagles team just didn't feel like they were there. Like, there was something off about them.
Well,
from, like, the Super Bowl run they made last year to, like, what was going on with them this year. But they kept winning games. I think they were the last undefeated team in the NFL.
They were.
This year before the collapse at the end.
They were 10-1, 11-1 at one point.
I thought they were 11. Oh, yeah, because they lost to, what, the Jets?
But, so, one of the crazy things with this, and I didn't realize until it was, like, during the game, I turned on the Manning cast. I like the Manning cast. I don't care what anyone says. I really enjoy it. It's kind of fun to watch.
We each have our
three. But the Manning cast, they had Ray Lewis on.
Yes.
And Ray Lewis was an interesting aspect to, like, kind of watch on that one, because he was like, you know, this team, it's clear that this team has given up on, like, the coaching staff. He's like, you can't have players-only meetings. He's like, I don't like players-only meetings, because, like, if I have something to say, I'm going to say it straight to the face of, like, the coach and stuff like that. But you can't have players-only meetings. And, like, I guess A.J. Brown was, like, holding a players-only meeting, like, the week before that playoff game. And so I think that a lot of it comes down to coaching. I think a lot of it comes down to stuff in the locker room, losing the locker room. So that being the case, who knows, man? I mean, do you want to rebuild as Philly? I don't think you do.
Especially, I would say, McCarthy, I don't either. And how many years after Doug Peterson won the Super Bowl for them did they get rid of him?
One.
That's insane. Like, you get your, you take your franchise to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Like, these are the coaches you want, mm-hmm. and then the very next year, like, it doesn't go. You still made the playoffs. You got over the Super Bowl hangover they always talk about with, you know, the team that loses always has a struggling outside of the Buffalo Bills of the early 2000 of the early 90s. Like, I think, you know, but yeah, if they lost it, like, I guess you'd have to, I would give them another year.
I've seen, like, basketball coaches, like Frank Vogel, like, coached the Lakers to a championship, and then about a year and a half he was fired for just losing the team, which is not unlike what Sirianni's happened to.
I guess
Sirianni
it's different
right
from
now.
Losing the team versus...
just losing.
Yeah, losing versus losing the team, because, you know, they are having a great year up until whatever happened at the end.
Mm.
But, yeah, so there you go, your week, your Super Bowl, your... man...
Super Wild Card Weekend.
They just like to use super. They just like to use super.
That's it. We'll take a quick break. When we're back, we got the divisional round coming up. Here we go.
The dastardly divisional round.
Oh, that's a good stupid one. That's a good one. That's a good one. I like that.
Dumb.
Let's take a break and listen to some commercials.
Hey, Fernando. You know what I'm in the mood for after the Detroit Lions won their first playoff game in about 30 years? Some Detroit-style pizza. Unfortunately, we're in San Diego. Where can I go?
Travis, I got just the spot for you for some Detroit-style pizza. Angry Pete's Pizza in Point Loma, located at 2734 Litton Avenue. It is the best Detroit-style pizza in San Diego because it's probably the only Detroit-style pizza in San Diego. Very delicious. They got that crust with the cheese on the edge. Mwah! It is delicious. Hit up Angry Pete's Detroit-style pizza here in San Diego for some finger-licking pizza.
Man, Fernando, that sounds great.
We're back.
We're back.
Double
back.
Doinks and Sackles.
Teaching you football.
I'm teaching you football.
All right. It's a divisional round, or wait, what did you call it, Travis?
The dastardly divisional round.
The dastardly divisional round. First game up is going to be the Texans at the Ravens. We got those one seeds playing on Saturday after getting their byes. Travis, why don't you start us off with what you think about this game?
I don't know, man. This is actually a hard one for me. They played each other in week one. I don't think that's an accurate, like, representation of what either one of these two teams, like, would become this year. I really don't like the Ravens. I just don't.
You haven't all year. You've been hating on them all year.
I don't like the Ravens. I don't like them. I don't think that they're that great. I think that they're a one-dimensional football team with a really good defense. I think their defense is, like, kind of sneaky good this year. That being said, I think they said that no quarterback has had a rating over, like, 70. that has played them for like you know, like the quarterback ratings, but not the QBR, but the other one in this game. I will say that CJ Stroud will have a pretty good game. I think they're going to keep this close. I really want to take the Texans in this game, but I'm going to take the Ravens, but I'm going to take the Texans to cover.
Cover. That's at 9.5 points right now. Ravens are 9.5 point favorites.
Part of me wants to just take the Texans overall. But
I thought about doing that too, but I will. I also picked exactly the same as you did. Ravens win, Texas cover. So did Chris. I think this is going to be a very close game, and it could very well be high scoring. Just like I think the Ravens' run defense is bad, and like we got Singletary, hopefully like maybe getting some good yardage as well. Open up the passing game by that. But yeah, I think the Ravens are too skilled and too good to lose to the Texans. But it's going to be close.
Well, I agree with you guys on half of that, because I have the Ravens winning this game, and I have the Ravens covering that 9.5 points. I see Baltimore has, like, down the stretch, too. You look at that game against the Niners, the game against the Dolphins, like, the, like, very like crucial games for them to solidify that one seed, and they go out and dominate. I think, you know, CJ Stroud, he's looked great this year. He's a great young prospect. He's going to win Rookie of the Year. First home playoff game. Again, the first playoff game at home. He's got the friendly, you know, atmosphere of his home crowd. Not going to have that in Baltimore. I think Baltimore goes out there and just runs them over. And I think it's going to be lopsided. I'm going to take the Ravens to win and cover.
There's a whole bunch of like weird like jinxes and losses and curses. And I do remember Lamar Jackson only having one win in the playoffs, his playoffs. And I feel like that might happen again, but not yet.
Yeah, not yet. I think they're going to dominate. We got the Packers at the Niners. Travis, what are you thinking about this?
This one's pretty straight up for me. I believe that the Packers are about to come back down to earth. I think that Jordan Love and the Packers are still Jordan Love and the Packers from this season. I think you get a couple good weeks out of him, and he looks like he's a stud, and then he comes back down to earth. Right? That's been Jordan Love all season long. So everyone's out here like just propping Jordan Love up, talking about how he's the second coming of like Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre. I just watched some video that they were like, the resemblances are uncanny. And it was like throws last week of Jordan Love and then throws from like Brett Favre like years ago. And I'm like,
Aaron Rodgers.
Let's just stop right now. I think Jordan Love has looked pretty good when he's needed to, but he's also looked terrible. And I think one of these weeks might be the week that he looks terrible. I pity the people trying to play the Niners on a bye week. 9.5 doesn't seem like enough. I think it's more than that. But give me the Niners to win and cover.
Damn.
Do you think John Madden would have loved Jordan Love?
Probably. I mean,
he loved Aaron Rodgers, right? I think he did.
Oh, Brett Favre gave him the biggest boner in the world.
I know, but yeah, but just thinking like all the other Packer quarterbacks. I absolutely love how everyone's going, oh, look at Jordan Love pass the ball with no feet on the ground, just like everyone else. And it's like, I think this game is going to be – this game's over-under is like I think about 50.5 is the most highest scoring game projected, and I think it will be. But I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be close. That 9.5 is good for like a touchdown win. So I have the Niners to win, Packers cover. So did Chris Walters. He also said that same way. I just feel like this – Packers are too good. I think there's certain – like the run defense for Niners in short games is like really bad for some reason. So there's going to be some back and forth. And by selecting the 49ers will win it.
I'm on the same with you and Mr. Walters. I think the Niners win this, but the Packers have been playing... I hate saying this. They've been playing good down the stretch. They're looking all right.
It's on tape.
I think they're going to go in there. I think it's going to be a competitive game. I think they'll keep it close. However, it is in San Francisco, and I think it's just going to be too much Niners. Like, I feel like the Niners will build up a 2-score lead. The Packers will make it interesting by scoring late. And then the Niners will have, like, you know, the ball, close out the clock, and, like, that's what we got. Side note on this, we do have the Kirk Cousins curse, which is if you lose to Kirk Cousins during the regular season, the team has never made it to the Super Bowl. And the only teams left in the playoffs who have lost to Kirk Cousins this year are the Packers and Niners. So that means the winner of this game is definitely going to lose next week to probably the next matchup, which is the Buccaneers at the Lions.
Note that for next week.
So this is where I'm going to say the Lions are going to the Super Bowl because, you know, they didn't lose to Kirk Cousins this year. Lions are 6.5-point favorites in this one. Side note, this is the highest spread Detroit has been favored in the franchise's playoff history. 6.5 points. Travis, what do you think about this?
Man, so this is an interesting game because I like the Bucks right now. I think the Bucks have been kind of scrappy. They've been fun. I'm kind of cheering for Baker as much as I can. Like I said, you know, off the mic, he is what Johnny Manziel should have been for all of us. You know, skull sipping, zin packing.
Speaking of which,
you know, not giving a flying F about anything. That being said, this would also be the first two playoff game win season for the first time since 1957 for the Lions.
1957. How old were you guys in 1957?
I was negative.
Hold on, I got. Here, let me give you the good stuff.
We're passing Zins out. Oh, no, thank you.
I mean, that was a negative 26 years old by that point.
Negative 26? I would have been negative 27 that year.
My mom was 6.
Andrew?
My mom
was negative 4.
My mom was 6. Her birthday, she turned 73 yesterday, so that's how long
ago. Okay. All that being said, give me the Lions to win and cover this game. 6.5. I just think the atmosphere is going to be like way too pumping
at Ford
Field. As much as I would like to, I mean, and don't get me wrong, the Bucks have like a decent defense. Like their rush defense is one of the better ones in the NFL. Their pass defense kind of showed up last week. Baker looked pretty good last week, even without like the running game really going off the way that I thought it was going to go. That being said, the only way the Bucks are going to win this game is by getting Rashad White going early and fast and then shutting down Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. I don't see that happening, and I see the Lions winning by a touchdown.
The Lions have a pretty not-so-great pass defense. Like Cam Sutton, I keep thinking hearing Cam Sutton's name getting burned on touchdown passes. I like the Lions. I like them to cover that. This is going to be a really, really good high-scoring game, too. That Bucks and Baker Mayfield is going to put points on the board. Guaranteed, I feel. But I got the Lions to win this and cover because I think this Lions have too much superpower, too much offensive power. Chris also agrees he has the Lions to win and cover.
Yeah, I also have the Lions winning and covering. I think this is going to be a blowout. Like, the Buccaneers, yeah, they've been scrappy, but we see how these scrappy teams, like, I think we used scrappy for the Browns last week and how they were going to win that game, and most of us were wrong about that. Like, you know, these scrappy teams, if you don't have it all together, like, these are the kind of games where you get blown out at, and that's what we might have some hot takes about this coming up, but I think Detroit is just going to steamroll them into the NFC Championship game. I'm going to take the Lions to win easily. We got the final game of, did you say delusional divisional round?
Dastardly,
that's what it
I'll
was.
I'll take delusional as well.
Delusional, dastardly.
We got the Chiefs and Bills. It's a fun little rivalry that's been brewing up the last 3 or 4 years. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. Patrick Mahomes has been in the AFC Championship game every fucking year he's been a starter. Even in 2017, when he was the backup, they made it to the AFC Championship game.
But this is his first road playoff game.
Can you believe that? Get the fuck out of here.
This is his first road playoff game. Yes.
Wow. I'm shocked I didn't know that ahead of time.
I'm shocked you didn't know that.
That is blowing my mind right now. Holy shit.
And the reason why they're playing in Buffalo is care of Kadarius Toney lining off offside. That's the reason why they're playing this in Buffalo. So many things to think about in this game.
That is insane. Well, like, Travis, you're starting us off with your pick on this.
Oh, man. I'd hate to see Patrick Mahomes lose in the playoffs, of course. You know, that's not exactly like a Super Bowl by that point. But, you know, you want to come out and you want to do some stuff. Miss Piggy's going to be there cheering.
You sound more like Kermit.
Yeah, you sound like Kermit after smoking a pack of cigarettes.
That's what Patrick Mahomes is.
Okay, there it is. That's what it was. Yeah.
More guttural.
So listen, it's Patrick Mahomes here on the playoff on the podcast. I just wanted to say, you know, I really appreciate you guys' support for all the years and everything like that. But you know, my wife Brittany's gonna be up there cheering with Taylor and the custom jackets. Obviously, the Bills are gonna win this game. It's been far too many times of watching Stephon Diggs sit on the sideline, watching people celebrate. I think this is the Bills' year. I mean, I don't think Stephon Diggs is going to be there next year either, but I think this is the Bills' year. I think that they're too hot right now. What, they're six games in a row right now they've won. Josh Allen's really turned it on. I think playing at home is going to be a big factor for them. The Chiefs obviously aren't scared of like cold weather games, but I just think the atmosphere in Buffalo, the fans in Buffalo have to be wanting this right now. You know, they've got to be
cheering. Oh, of course they do.
They've got to be just chomping at the bit right now. So, yeah, give me Buffalo to win and cover this game.
Chris Walters agrees with you. Bills win and cover as well. I'm going to pick the Bills. I have been going back and forth with my pick. This morning it was the Chiefs just because I felt like somehow Mahomes will find a way to win this. But then I realized he only has a limited number of offensive weapons, and that's not going to do it this time. I have the Bills to win and cover. I think the Bills are determined. They are on a pretty massive win streak right now, and I think this is going to be the time they actually beat the Chiefs at home. So give me the Bills to win and cover this game.
I like what you guys are saying. You guys got some good good points you got to throw out there, but. But we're talking Patrick Mahomes, and this is the playoffs.
Never heard of him.
Playoffs. And the defense for the Chiefs, I think Josh Allen is going to have another Josh Allen game. I'm going to have the Chiefs going in there and winning this game, solidifying themselves in the AFC Championship game again. I just think it just feels like it. I don't know what it is. Like, the Chiefs just, they get it done in these situations. Like, I'm going to start off with coaching, because if I'm taking the better coach, it's Andy Reid easily.
100%.
And, I mean, the better quarterback, like, yeah, Josh Allen does not have good weapons around him. I mean, what is this, Shaheed Rice, is that his name?
Rasheed Rice.
You're talking about Patrick Mahomes, doesn't have.
Yeah, but him, like, Rasheed Rice has been coming along. He came up big in those playoff games, like, at least a receiver he can throw it to. Their running backs are good with Pacheco. Isaiah Pacheco, and even when Hilaire gets
hip
in
hip
there.
Hilaire.
I think the Chiefs are just going to go out there and do it, and I think Josh Allen's going to have some turnovers. We'll talk about that during the hot takes. But yeah, give me the Chiefs with the upset win on the road. We're going to take a quick pause, and then we're going to come back with our hot takes. You don't want to miss it. All right, here we go. The hot takes for delusional divisional round playoffs.
Dastardly.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is.
All right, so our hot takes for the week. For this one, we are going to be consuming some Momofuku Extra Spicy Chili Crunch with, we got some, what, egg rolls? Or
these are lumpia.
Lumpia. We got lumpia in the hizzy. So we're going to take them first, right?
Just take them, then we'll as soon as you take them next year, your next...
All right, I'm going to take a bite, and I'm going to give you my two hot takes, because I got two. Let's see how spicy this shit is. Nothing's happening yet.
Well, just spin some more on it for you, because you're just a badass.
Okay, it's starting. It's getting there.
All right, yeah.
It's getting there.
What were you saying before?
It's getting there. Yeah, hey. Okay.
What is your hot take?
All right. My hot take is, my two, Detroit wins by at least 20 points in their second home playoff game in 32 years or whatever.
Okay.
And Josh Allen has at least 3 turnovers in the game.
Ooh. Okay, that's hot.
I'm going to go at least 3 interceptions, maybe 2 interceptions and a lost fumble. Those are my two hot takes. I'm going to say Detroit wins by 20-plus. Josh Allen turns the ball over at least 3 times. That's not that bad.
Oh, no, it's good there. It's good there. I'm going to do my hot take first. I think this game between Detroit and Tampa is going to be high scoring. That even in a losing effort, Baker Mayfield threw 3 touchdowns.
Ooh!
3 TDs.
I'm glad that I had a second hot take in my chamber because I was actually going to say 3 TDs for Baker Mayfield as well.
Okay, perfect.
With that, I'm going to say Texans. I'm going to say CJ Stroud 3 touchdowns.
CJ Stroud, 3 touchdowns. All right, I think that's going to do it for our... We're just finishing up our Momofuku.
Momofuku.
Extra spicy chili crunch. It's not that bad. Mm-mm. I'm still kicking my ass. I didn't cough. I always cough after the other shit we have. But it's like, it's coming back at the end, I'm going to tell you. All right, that's going to do it for this round. Hey, thanks for tuning in, all 9 of you.
2 of you.
2, whatever. Signing off, I'm Fernando.
I'm Travis. And Jimmy G, the stat boy.
We'll see you next week.
Enjoy football.
Championship Sunday next week? Yeah.